Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, CESCapades with BJ and Migs. Live from the CES show in Las Vegas, 99.9 KISW.
It's CES day two, and I'm doing the big boy voice.
We have an intro. We're fine with all of that.
Oh,
it's the
all right.
CESCapades, man. We're on day two of our CESCapades, and boy, was day one interesting.
CESCapades.
Yeah, today, again, this was the big media day because tomorrow is when it officially opens, and
yes,
that's where the regular people get to come in and check out this big show. And so we got to go sit in on what were supposed to be some really amazing press conferences and, you know, big announcements from big companies. And we picked two.
Well, three, actually.
Oh, yeah, we picked three. That's right. We did pick three. Yeah.
We lasted only through one.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the third one. You're right. I totally forgot about the third one.
The third one, we didn't even make it to the beginning.
Yeah. We just bailed on the third one. You're right. We did have three. Yeah, so Steve, tell the folks what we had and why we were excited about this.
All right, so the one we did make was Panasonic, and we'll be talking quite in depth about that with our friend Perry Michael Simon, who is part of All Access, a great radio trade magazine. He talks about all things gadgets. He's also known from The Nerdist.
Yes.
He's been a part of that back in the past as well. He's just a brilliant mind, and he always has a lot to say about technology. So we're going to pick his brain about what we learned from the Panasonic press conference, because that one was awesome.
Yeah.
But then we tried to go to the CSI.
TEC, TCI. It looked good. It looked like a dance club in there.
It was a banger in there. The music was going. Apparently, they have Roku and other stuff as well. So there's some exciting stuff with that, because the Roku guy said our goal, but everybody wants everything on one controller.
Yes.
Yeah. So it makes sense, because I'm a Roku guy, and that is, that sometimes keeps me away from using my Roku, is either I have to pull up the app on my phone to be able to change the channels, or I got to find the controller and hope that there's batteries in it. So
yeah, I love Roku as well. So I was looking forward to see what's going on in the world of Roku.
But trying to find a seat in there is anxiety inducing.
It was a beating, because the guy said to me, he goes, take those reserved seats. And they had really cool free bags and stuff.
I know.
I was excited. Yeah. So I said, hey, you know what, guys, I'm going to head to the restroom. You guys go in there. And then all of a sudden, when I left,
we tried to take the seats and we got yelled at.
No. Yeah, there was a very aggressive woman who was not happy with you two. And
no,
it's a good thing I wasn't there, because I think I would have said, no, those aren't your seats. That guy just told us to sit here. You're done. But you guys were.
And then there was a guy carrying a giant hard box full of like TV gear, and he's trying to get by us, and there's no room. So he's pushing us, apologizing as he's pushing us. Yeah. But it's chaos. And that's CSI,
Las Vegas edition.
But it's just, and we haven't even really gotten to the meat of it all. This is just me. Media.
Yeah.
And once everything starts up with all the people who just come and register, who from all across the world, I mean, seriously, across the world, it's going to be nuts. And I don't know how my social anxiety is going to handle this, but let's just say I was ready to punch some people during that crazy techno exhibit that we were in the middle of.
Yeah, that was interesting. You were not looking happy. It wasn't at the level of Las Vegas Knights tickets problems happy that you tweeted about. If people have been on Twitter, they realize it's not been a fun time.
It's been a downhill trip for me.
Yeah. So,
and then the other one was Samsung, and I was very excited about that one.
I was too.
And you know, I've learned a lot since then going on Twitter, and like there's a giant, they call it the wall, like 128-inch television that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
We don't know any of the stuff that was talked about in the press conference, because they decided to have the president of Samsung.
He was some high-ranking mucky muck.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first guy was okay. Then they bring up this other guy, and the guy was just monotone. Also, it was obvious that English wasn't his first language. And look, I mean, the fact that anybody can speak more language than the one that they were born with is always impressive to
it's
me.
Incredible. Yeah.
But the thing is that he didn't speak it well enough to be up in front of the crowd saying, here's our big Samsung presentations. it just was. And so the monotone, the not really understanding what he's talking about. There was a dude in our row literally sleeping.
He beat me to the punch.
I can't believe that because you're the sleeping guy.
And he was sleeping right next to me. I felt bad because finally I looked at BJ. I'm like, F this. Whatever we can learn, we'll learn on Twitter. And I got up and started walking out. Unfortunately, I had to wake the guy up in order to get out of there. But yeah, I'm sure it was a great press conference. It was just the guy that they had starting things off was...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like Samsung was kind of on their heels because, of course, they still have to say, hey, we're kind of sorry about the phone stuff. But really, we've come back from that. And I think that was really where they were going. And then they brought this other guy up who, said, we're going to do great things. And then he had a couple of pictures up there and said, yeah, we're doing great things. It just wasn't as dynamic of a presentation as Panasonic. And Panasonic got to, here's what we're going to be doing.
And so much cool
so
stuff.
So quickly.
And I've learned, I don't think it's me that is the problem when it comes to when I watch movies and TV that I fall asleep. I have a Samsung. And clearly that seems to be the trend, putting people to sleep.
Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah.
Oh, but one thing I did learn before we get to our chat with Perry Michael Simon, my fear of artificial intelligence, AI, has been confirmed. I know we're going to talk about it with Perry.
Yes.
But there were a few things that I grabbed from the Panasonic press conference that I'd like to share with you guys. One of them was apparently there's going to be artificial intelligence to be able to tell when you're in the mood for food and what type of food that you want.
Yeah.
Here's a guy by the name of Tom Beckhardt, I believe his name was. He's part of Panasonic, explaining what exactly is going on.
Artificial intelligence and connected vehicle technology will allow these restaurants to predict which customer might be in the mood for a pumpkin spice latte, reach out to them in their vehicle when they're 5 minutes away from the store, and offer to get an order started so that it can just be a grab-and-go experience when they get there.
Which sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But terrifying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's very, very true. The it's Minority Report, man. It really, really is.
And that's the theme at CES is how much AI stuff is coming. I mean, obviously the car stuff, the gadgets and all the other cool things that we're excited about. But the underlying theme seems to be artificial intelligence.
There's a lot of acronyms. You got AI, AR, IoT. I mean, VR. I mean, you know, really, you know, you got to know your alphabet to realize that's the future.
And don't forget WS. And that's we're effed because the robots are coming and they're coming quicker than I anticipated.
Yeah.
One of the other things he brought up was that there's robotics so that a robot can garden for you.
Yeah.
And in fact, also it could be like Iron Man that there could be robotics to make you stronger. Here's that Tom guy talking about that.
Finally, we believe robotics have a huge impact as we move forward into an integrated supply chain. In factories, we're developing robots that learn from the movements of human hands to replicate complex series of maneuvers. In warehouse, robotic-assisted suits help workers pick up heavy objects. In retail, robotic cashiers tally up what's in the shopping cart using RFID transmitters. For the food industry, we're bringing robotics to the supply chain source also, the family farm, with a robot that can delicately harvest even tomatoes.
Dude, that's in the world of like sci-fi and comic books, that's called an exoskeleton that you can put something on and make you stronger. So you can pick up heavy things.
And I mean, we saw the pictures of it, man. It was like, it looked like a knee brace around a guy's hip. It wasn't like anything ridiculous that you have to put on, like some crazy Iron Man suit. It's just what the equivalent of a brace on your body. And now all of a sudden you're going to have robot strength.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, they're coming to life with this stuff where you'll have supervillains that'll be punching, you know, like the Shocker dude from the Homecoming Spider-Man movie, man.
And the damn robots can handle tomatoes delicately.
That's what I've always asked for. I said, listen, could you handle my tomatoes delicately?
I like to shout out Vala Afshar on Twitter to continue to scare me when it comes to artificial intelligence. He came up with a timeline of when machines can achieve human-like capabilities.
Yeah.
2024, translating languages. That's more than I can do. 2025, assembling Legos. It's more than BJ can do.
Yep, that's true.
2026, writing high school essays.
Oh, that's way more than I can do.
2027, autonomous trucks. Maximum overdrive, baby.
Oy.
2029, they can run a 5K race against people.
What?
And 2030, service in retail. That's according to this one guy.
We're going to have, so basically there'll be robots at the Gap.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
He also said, according to the Pentagon, by 2045, we will control gadgets by our brain signals.
No.
And he said, in 5 years, your smartphone will translate your thoughts to text.
Okay.
We need to start that rebellion.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah. It's time. We need John Connor.
Hashtag Skynet.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think at this point, since we've been talking about all this crazy stuff, we should get a peek inside the brain of our friend Perry Michael Simon. So let's jump right into it here on our CES Capades with BJ and Migs.
CES hasn't officially started, but a lot of press conferences are happening. A lot of companies are here. So for the media, it's a pretty big day. Steve and I are looking at each other going, it's our first one. I don't know where to go. But luckily, a very good buddy of mine, Perry Michael Simon, who we have known in our radio business from allaccess.com. He's also done a lot of great work for Chris Hardwick and the Nerdist. He's been friends for the years, and he just contacted me and said, hey, are you going to be at CES? I'm like, yeah. So Steve and I said, let's ask Perry where we should go on this first day.
Let's have him do all the hard work for us.
Yeah. And Perry talked about the fact that, hey, Panasonic has got a press conference, and as it turns out, it's their 100th anniversary.
Yes, it is. I'll just grab this. If you're listening and you can't picture what it is, we're in a little room in the media room of CES. And we have two mics and three people, actually four people, but we're sharing. So I just grabbed it out of Steve's hand, and I know he wanted to punch me. So he actually wanted to punch me because I got to see a hockey game last night that he didn't, and there's the long story behind that. But I wasn't supposed to bring that up, but there it is. Anyway, I've been coming to CES for I've lost count of how many years, but the first couple of days involve press conferences, and there are some panels going on over at the convention center, but mostly it's the big companies take turns doing press conferences, and they've changed over the years. One of the things that's interesting is that Panasonic, which is the one that you guys just saw, has changed because Panasonic's business model has changed. And one of the things that you don't really perceive until it just hits you in the face at one of these things is that you can think Panasonic used to be a dominant brand when you'd walk into Best Buy or you walk into any store. They were maybe the largest. Them and Sony were the largest television manufacturers, and they made all sorts of audio equipment, and they were all over the place. And now you don't even think of them that way, and that's by design. And you might have noticed at the press conference that a lot of it was business-to-business stuff. They're less in the business of selling you a television set, although they do have some OLED screens that are very nice because every single company in this convention has OLEDs. But that wasn't the focus. I mean, they kind of blew. You might notice they blew past that in a few seconds, and they had the they had the OLED on the side, but they never really actually even pointed to it.
They even had a different guy bring it up. It was like even the main guy goes, I'm not even going to tell you about the TVs. Here's Jimmy. Jimmy's going to tell you.
Yeah, and it barely registered, but they were very much interested in you knowing about their smart city initiatives. They were very interested in showing you the car infotainment systems that have... amusingly, at the very beginning, they showed how they are now doing a deal with Amazon to put Alexa in their cars with their system.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they had a nearly identical demonstration with Google Assistant with a guy from Google, as if the first one never existed. They're trying to play both ends. But a lot of this has to do with the fact that the entire electronics industry, including Panasonic, were caught short. They were blindsided by the fact that the biggest thing over the past decade in electronics happens to be artificial intelligence in the form of voice assistants. And that's Amazon Alexa, that's Google Assistant, and none of these companies were ready for it. There are a few. Microsoft had Cortana. They just thought that that's how you're going to work with Windows 10. Surprise. And they had...
That is an interesting thing because I look at Amazon. They're not known as a tech company. They were known as... They basically started, like you said, like, hey, buy our books here. Is that embarrassing? I mean, if you're a Panasonic, to think that, wow, one of the biggest innovations is not them, and it's a company that really wasn't a tech company?
Nobody wants to miss out. And they're not missing out in one area, which is you're seeing everybody doing stuff with the connected car. This convention has become as much a car show. I think they said it was the fifth largest car show of all, and it's not a car show.
Wow.
And when you go, you guys will be going over to the convention center tomorrow, I guess, and take a look. I think it's in the North Hall. It has been in North Hall the last few years. The car companies are here. And when you see what they've got, it is like a car show. Usually Mercedes has some, has at least one concept car and a bunch of models showing off the latest. Last year, the big thing was Faraday Future, which is a lot of people think is kind of a vaporware company, but they demonstrated their Tesla killer. It's a car that was supposed to go faster and further than anything that Tesla has come out with. The problem is that they haven't actually started making it, and nobody really expects them to ever do that.
Of course.
But there are a lot of car manufacturers and car equipment manufacturers here, because that is a huge portion of technology going forward. And the self-driving cars, they've been here for several years, and it's now getting to the point where everybody knows it's coming. It's just a matter of what the form is going to take. And today, just before you guys got over to Mandalay Bay for these conventions, Toyota had a demonstration of what they call ePallet, which is basically it's a trailer that drives itself and can show up anywhere at any time. And
I noticed on Toyota, they also showed that Pizza Hut said that now they'll have a Pizza Hut truck with Toyota.
Exactly. The
self-driving.
Here's the thing. It is basically a truck that can be used not just as a delivery system for Pizza Hut or for Amazon. It can actually be anything you want it to be. So there can be a little kitchen in there, and you can have a mobile restaurant that goes where it goes. You can have a meeting room that you can call up, and the meeting room shows up at your doorstep. You can have deliveries where individual units that are inside one of these things, say, okay, you're going to schedule delivery to, Bellevue. And the thing goes to Bellevue, goes to a central point, opens up, and then smaller units go to where things need to be delivered, and facial recognition allows people to just walk up to it and get their stuff. Now, that's all amazing. The first thing I thought was that it looked like a mobile meth lab. It looked like...
Heisenberg.
It looked like, like Walter White doesn't have to get the Winnebago out and drive it anymore into the desert anymore. All he has to do is, just go out to the desert and just summon it up.
There's Jesse. Get me a meeting room, bitch!
There you go. But that's the kind of stuff that you see here, and it wasn't what you saw a few years ago, because a few years ago it was televisions, it was more televisions, it was audio stuff, a lot of car manufacturers showing, in car stereos, but the voice assistants. The other thing that's you're going to see, they desperately want you to get VR. They want everybody to be walking around with the headsets, and if you don't get the headsets, they want you to be walking around holding your phone up and using AR to get information about what you're looking at or have. AR is augmented reality. Okay. It is not virtual reality because it's not immersive. What it is it's what Google wanted to have happen with glasses, and which is...
Oh, is that like Microsoft HoloLens was kind of AR too?
It's all basically you look at something and you get information about it.
Yeah. A heads-up display. Okay. Like a Pip-Boy.
Or you're reading a book and you hold the thing, you hold your phone up to it and a character pops up in 3D. Or you get like sound or a video that just appear out of nowhere. That kind of stuff they want you to spend on, because right now they're hurting. They don't know what they can sell you because so much of it has moved beyond that. In fact, one of the things that I've been saying is that CES used to be manufacturers coming up with stuff to sell you. Now the whole world has moved forward, and it's not about the actual gadgets so much as it is about what they do for your life. Yeah. So it's now about, I'll put it this way. It's Star Trek, except it's not about the badge on your shirt or the flip phone communicator. It's just the fact that you can go anywhere and just say, computer, give me this, and it happens. That part of it, and it doesn't matter what's bringing it to you, whether it's whether you have to touch something on your shirt or flip open a phone or something. No, now it's just you walk into a room and say, make it 65 degrees and it happens.
Yeah, and you can do it from your car if you forget to turn the light off. I mean, it is amazing.
One thing I was hoping to ask about, because I noticed during the Panasonic conference, they talked about the smart digital food, in the sense that you're in your car, it can sense and knows what you like to eat, and it'll put an order in so you can show up and get the food at whatever restaurant it is that you're picking it up to go.
Yeah, but that's part of what lifestyle things they're pushing. A lot of that has some privacy implications. A lot of it is creepy as hell.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not 100% sure I want Amazon or anybody else to know that much about me. I'm annoyed when I go on Facebook and something that I looked at, not even because I wanted it, because for work I had to go look up a product, and suddenly it keeps pushing that on me, or something I bought already. And it does think, I'll tell you what, sometimes I'll order things for my wife, and it keeps pushing it because it thinks that I ordered it for myself. It wants me to buy more. And it's like, no, I'm not an adult woman, and I don't need that particular type of clothing, but thank you very much. But
by the way, I don't wear those things.
Plus, I don't want, if I'm driving, my car saying, hey, do you want that jumbo jack like you had yesterday while my wife is in the car with me? And then she's like, wait a second.
That's fantastic.
Exactly. And it makes these things will be prone to make a lot of assumptions that are untrue. Now, what they're saying is that as we move forward, they will get smarter and smarter. That's also disturbing, because it's almost comforting to think that the AI systems think they know about you, but they don't really. If they really do, if they know everything about you, that's kind of creepy, because who knows who has access to that and what they'll do with it.
Yeah.
But that is the future. And I think that, I know that there are a lot of people who are very privacy oriented. And I think there are some other people who say, you know what, that horse left the barn a long time ago.
It's so true, because I always thought it was very weird when I would, buy something at Safeway. They were the ones that did it, and then they would thank me by name. I would just be like, wow. And now they said facial recognition, just like the movie Minority Report. You walk into a Starbucks, they scan your face, they go up and they go, so do you want that same latte drink, Mr. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's just weird, but am I old and people are digging this?
It's hard to tell. I think that what they're basically going to do is a lot of this stuff is going to show up whether we want it or not.
Yeah.
And the question is going to be whether we just get used to it or rebel. And knowing the way that the public is, I think we're just going to get used to it, because again, a horse out of the barn, ship has sailed, all that kind of stuff. We are in a stage where people are going to put this technology into use, and whether we want it or not, we're going to be encountering it. Whether it's successful or not is another thing, but we're going to run into it. And yes, you're going to walk past a billboard, and it's going to show something that is apropos to you and only you. It's going to happen.
So thank you for effectively freaking me out. It's time to rebel. I'm ready to start the rebellion. We started here at CES.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go.
Perry, another thing, first of all, it was so surprising, because like you said, I didn't think of much of Panasonic. I see their products here, there. I know they make TVs and whatever. And, now they're saying going to make a speaker that will make your smart speaker experience better. Solar power, they're big into that too. And here's what I wonder: how is someone going to make money off of that? If they're saying it'll be great, you'll be able to power your own home, who's going to make money at the electric company if everyone's solar powered, which is what they're saying they want the future to be?
That's a discussion that goes into areas that are way beyond what CES does. And you're right. The thing is that for every transformative and disruptive technology, there are companies that are going to find themselves like dodo birds. They're going to just not have an idea of what to do. That's one of the reasons why people like, in my area, it's Southern California Edison, there are other companies that are in energy that are desperately stabbing for ways that they will be able to survive in an age when they're not, when what they provide now is no longer needed. But that's a business thing. And for practically every industry, that's what is, that's what you're taught in business school.
So that
disruption is coming, and you have to adapt or die.
So it looks like they want to be the middleman, the way like maybe gas stations are the middleman between us and the gas in our cars. Panasonic want to be the solar middleman.
Panasonic sees Elon Musk making, wanting to make batteries. They got into the business with him.
Oh, that's right.
Because they don't want, you know, if some, I think they're looking at it this way. Somebody's going to do it. It might as well be us, because if it's not us, we're not going to make that money and it's going to kill our business. So it's an adaptive thing. And, you know, solar is, you know, battery technology is probably the biggest key to all of this happening. And lithium ion has, you know, limitations, not the least of which is that they tend to explode at times. They're also expensive to make, and they're, and in order to provide the amount of energy necessary for example, a car, you need batteries that pretty much take up the entire chassis of the car. They are working on solid-state batteries. Toyota announced that they are going headlong into this morning, and the idea is, and Panasonic is also doing it, where instead of a massive battery that's a lithium-ion battery, they're much smaller. They're, you know, I think Panasonic was showing off cylindrical batteries that would replace the big blocks that, you know, big heavy blocks of battery that they have now. That's huge, because that's how things are going to get powered. Nobody, you know, obviously renewable energy like that is a key to the future. Getting away from the dependence on fossil fuels, you know, whether or not any, you know, whatever you think politically of global warming and climate change or whatever, the fact is that the future involves power by electricity generated by batteries that are going to have to be more efficient and going to have to be smaller and going to have to be easier and cheaper to make than they are now. And that is that's an underlying theme of CES. That's not going to be something you're going to see a booth dedicated to, but a lot of these companies are moving in that direction because they have to.
Perry, thank you so much for being with us. Perry Michael Simon works for AllAccess.com, and we are at CES Las Vegas 2018. Well, I you know, I'm glad, like we said, I'm glad Perry was here, because Perry really, he's a veteran of this, and I didn't know where we should go because it hasn't started yet. So we really wanted to make sure we did the media stuff right. And it was awesome, because he was the one that pointed us in the direction of Panasonic. And I got to find out if he went to Samsung, because I didn't see him there. He might have been smart enough to know not to go. And the thing that impresses me still, Steve, is that, you know, Alexa seems to be what everybody wants to get in bed with. Yep. And we didn't stay long enough for Samsung to know if they did any voice actuated stuff. So I can't say if they do or don't have it. I haven't seen anything on Twitter. It doesn't seem like that's part of their world. They're sort of staying like everything's going to be connected via Samsung and they'll just do it all within themselves. Whereas Panasonic says, oh yeah, we're going to work with Google Assist. We're going to work with the Amazon Echo. I feel like voice assisting is kind of the future. Everybody's on board with that. And
artificial intelligence, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not on board with that, and, you know, we still haven't seen what Apple's going to do, because they're going to release theirs later on this year, which is so, I mean, to be able to tell my car what to do and to be able to have, I don't know if you guys saw, we tweeted out that mobile Pizza Hut that'll just, it's self-driving Pizza Hut truck that'll come to your house. What else do I need?
Does it have to leave my house? That's the big question.
Yeah. So
it's crazy, but then there's also a few other things that from the Panasonic thing that I thought was pretty cool was the turntables. I'm a big, and I know a lot of our listeners
are
vinyl freaks, and they've got a couple of what look to be really cool turntables, one called the SP10R, and then I think it's the SL1000R, which both of them look pretty cool.
Dude, by the way, just because I'm tripping, because when I saw them release that, I go, have I gone back to the 80s?
Right.
Because it's amazing. We're talking about our new Techniques turntables. I'm like, what?
Right. This is like the big, the wave of the future of electronics. And hey, there are turntables. And that was the thing that made me go, whoop.
I never thought I would see at a big CES 2018 that they, you know, Panasonic could go and check these Techniques out.
Yeah. Panasonic's also working on home monitors, like the video monitors, you know, for home security and surveillance. And apparently you're not going to have to work with a third party in order to be able to look at that stuff, which was pretty cool. And then obviously I love video stuff. A lot of us do, like video cameras and recording things. And there's, I think it's called the GH5 video camera, which apparently is, it's user-friendly for beginners, but it's also well-respected and appreciated by more advanced videographers, high bit rate, I guess, 60 frames per second as opposed to like your typical 30. So great quality. So I thought that was pretty cool too.
And they said with their monitors that they really were getting together with Hollywood execs and the people that actually, you know, edit these things up and put movies together. And so they're like, look, what do you, we want to design televisions that will reflect exactly what you want. And so they've got like a bunch of production houses that are using the Panasonic monitors just so that the Panasonic go, okay, this is how you want it. This is how we're going to make our TVs. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, Panasonic seems to be getting in bed with all the right people.
Yep.
Like I said, I didn't see that with Samsung. They seem to be like, we have our own ecosystem. We're staying here.
We stayed for 15 minutes of the press conference, man.
I don't know
what happened. There could have been a lot of awesome stuff. They might have figured out a way to legitimately turn water into wine.
It could be.
We missed that part, and you're acting like as if they don't have anything.
Yeah, I guess my point...
They have a mad presenter.
My point being is at least... I mean, we were there for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, right, but we were there at the Panasonic for a good hour.
That's true. But I saw their talk about ecosystem, and everything was going to be part of, like, Samsung was going to communicate with all Samsung.
Yeah.
Where, you know, which is great. If you're an owner of those products, you want all the devices to talk to each other. And what I did get from the part that I stayed was, it's like, we're going to do this, and it's all Samsung, 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 plus a smart app that's a Samsung smart app.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Panasonic said, we're going to branch out and basically have a relationship with all these other companies and bring it all together. Yeah. So I thought that's interesting. One is like, we're staying within our own bubble. And the other one's like, we're going to go talk to everybody. And we'll see which one, you know, does well. Or maybe that kind of thinking will do well for both companies.
Yeah. And it's the 146-inch TV.
The Samsung wall TV.
And it's going to take up your entire wall, which is just...
That's impressive.
That seems to be the big takeaway from a lot of people. I'm looking on the hashtag CES2018, and everybody is talking about that television called the wall. I don't even know what 146 inches is going to look like.
Yeah, well...
I don't know if I have a wall that could fit 146-inch TV.
I'm going to try. I have a couple of spaces in the house that, you know what, I'm willing to take some, you know, artwork off the wall and go, sorry, honey, the wall is going to be for the wall.
Well, I know one of my favorite parts of the CES capades is the stuff that we're doing outside of the convention.
Yes.
Obviously, we're in Vegas, and you can't just show up to Vegas, go to some conventions, and call it a day. You have to enjoy Vegas day and nightlife, which sometimes kind of meld into each other. So, Chris, as always, Uncle Chris, you've been taking notes.
Yep.
So, I guess we'll fly through some and see what's up.
All right. Well, the biggest thing I think that we need to talk about is what went down with the Golden Knights game we were supposed to go and see.
Oh, man.
Guys. I mean...
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I'm in a good mood today, man. I learned about some cool gadgetry. Slightly scared of artificial intelligence. Do I need to talk about my hatred of anything with the name Golden in it now?
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. It's become a sort of unofficial thing that Steve and I do if we're ever traveling together for any kind of event. If there is a hockey arena and it's hockey season, Steve's like, look, I really want to see. I don't care who's playing, but I want to see the home team play.
Right.
And, of course, this is the inaugural season of the Vegas Golden Knights. And, of course, there's electricity in the air. It looks like a Blue Friday the way everybody was just decked out. So Steve's like, I'm going to go on. I'm going to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went on to a third party ticket seller where he was like, hey, yeah, we got tickets. And he said, what do you think of these seats? I said, yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
And mind you, these are verified third party ticket vendors.
This is a professional.
I went to the big boy ticket broker and they don't have any more tickets. So they automatically direct you to this. It's not like they give you options. They just send you, hey, this is where you go. This is where you get tickets. I've used them before to buy football tickets. Never had an issue. I know there's always a risk when it comes to third party vendors and I get it. Sure. Stop tweeting me that. And stop tweeting me that you should have used. That's too late because long story short, moral of the story, we did not have tickets and we thought we had tickets when we did the last podcast. We were all excited. Yeah. We were going to go meet up with our friend Sylvia who does radio here in Vegas at a bar right by the T-Mobile Arena. And I'm like, great, let's all shower. Let's get ready. Not at the same time we're together, even though the showers are big here.
Yes.
So as I'm getting ready, I bought the tickets at around, what time was it, Chris?
It was like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, 1:30 in the afternoon the day before the game.
Yeah.
And they're like, we'll send you a confirmation. We'll send you this. We'll send you that. Perfect. No confirmation comes. I'm like, well, maybe it's my spam filter. Kept waiting and waiting. Finally, I messaged them. They're like, hey, sir, your tickets are guaranteed. The confirmation's coming. It's in the queue, which I think is weird. Like, there's like somebody that stands by and has to process one email at a time.
Yeah, that's a bizarre process.
Very weird. So nothing happens. Checking in on them again later on in the night. Nothing happens. Call first thing in the morning, 6 a.m. Talk to a woman. She's like, sir, so sorry. The company that then sends you the tickets, because then they use a different company to send you the tickets. It's a cluster F.
Human fingers.
They haven't shown up yet.
But once they show up, you'll have your tickets. They're guaranteed. Here's my email in case you don't hear anything in 3 hours. Email her in 3 hours. Still don't have tickets. She's like, well, okay, well, this is what's up. I'm like, I just want, hey, just to let you know, is there any way you can twist the arm of somebody over there with the other company? Because the game is in a couple of hours. Her response, sir, I'm aware that the game is in a couple of hours. I guarantee you that you'll have your tickets in time.
It is a very smarmy email response. I was like, oh my God, I really want to, I want to email her back right now with some few choice words.
Because I asked her, I'm like, hey, if the tickets don't show up in time, is there something I can do while at the arena? Maybe there's a person, like, you know, I don't know. I've never worked with these, this...
Lovely people.
So long story too short, or long story short too late.
yes.
Ends up at 4 o'clock. I'm about ready to come down to see you guys, or 3:45, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I call again. Hey, what's up with the tickets? Sir, I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 blah. I'll put you on hold. I'm on hold for 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden she comes on and I can tell she sounds panicked. She's like, sir, well, the story is, and she's, and I'm like, finally, I was just getting annoyed because she's rambling for like 2 minutes. I'm finally like, do I have tickets? Long pause. No.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so now I get put up to another person. I'm mad. I'm trying to, like, I'm like, hey, I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at the lack of communication from the other people I've talked to. And the lady's like, I understand. This is completely messed up. Talk to a guy. I'm like, dude, that you guaranteed me these tickets. And
it says guaranteed.
Because I'm like, hey, man, if you don't have those tickets, I don't even care if they're worse. Can you just give me some tickets?
Yeah.
He's like, we don't have any more tickets. We have none. I'm like, well, she guaranteed. Yes, sir. She is right when she said that. We do guarantee that we will give you tickets. I'm like, are you now messing with me?
So what does guarantee mean?
I'm like, well, then I should have tickets. He's like, well, this is one of those rare instances where we can't help you. Apparently, the person who was selling the tickets must have been using multiple third-party ticket-selling brokers, kind of like throwing out a line into every sea, and whoever bites first, then she would just, or he would pull it off of all those other pages.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, because of something and a miscommunication or something along those lines, she or he sold them to another person before me.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we had no tickets. So now I had to go down, meet up with you guys, and say, hey, we don't have tickets.
Yeah, and we tried to get tickets. We said, all right, well, let's go to the box office, see what they have. Mm-hmm. And that was a sad thing because they were sold out. They weren't sold out a couple of days before, like when you originally did it.
The standing room tickets weren't.
Yeah, and you know, even standing room, it's like, well, you know, hey, let's check that out. I don't care. Yeah, but this, so they had something, but by the time you found out, they were sold out. Yeah. And so that's what frustrates me, is they took our money right away, but they didn't get back to Steve right away to tell them we don't have tickets. I don't know why it took them so long to figure out they didn't have tickets. And he called them multiple times and emailed them multiple times.
Right.
But they took his money right away. It did not take long. It's like, how is it you can get our money right away, but you can't find out if you have the goddamn tickets right away?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. And then at that point, it's like, well, can I get my money back? Well, of course, sir. But it's going to take several days to process through the bank and all this. And I'm just like, I'm not dropping another several hundred dollars to go work with another third party ticket vendor. Just like, oh man, my last email to the woman that originally kept guaranteeing it, I was like, blah, 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 blah. Thanks to you, my night and trip have been ruined.
Nice.
Go F yourself.
that was sad. And you know me, I railed about customer service before, and that was pathetic.
It was terrible.
It really, really was. Because of their incompetence, you couldn't go to the game. There was a chance you could have, because look, we get it. We get when sometimes mistakes happen. That's okay. If you'd have known, if you'd told us right off the bat the mistake happened, we could have got standing room only tickets. You know, we would have been a little upset, but hey, things like that happen. It took them so long that we could get tickets nowhere because of how long it took them.
Right.
And they kept telling you, don't bother us, sir. We have your tickets.
We're getting and that's the thing. If I never bothered to call that last time,
you would never know.
I would never have gotten the tickets. I would have been sitting. Well, granted, I would have eventually given up and called. But you know what I mean? Like, that just seemed completely ridiculous. At the end of the day, I think we can all agree. Hashtag Pearl Jam was right.
There we go.
Definitely hashtag Pearl Jam was right. So much so that we went to, it's so great about Vegas. You can always find a bar. And of course, they love their Golden Knights here. So every bar pretty much has them on TV. Oh. So Steve has decked out in his Las Vegas Knights hat bought for the game.
And a shirt.
And a shirt.
I'm like super Vegas Knights fan all of a sudden.
But he's actually screaming at the bar, Hey, go Rangers. And so the people at the bar are like, we cannot figure this guy out. What is happening?
Cheering on the Rangers in full Vegas Golden Knights gear and watching an incredibly great game.
It was such a good game.
It was a good game.
Thanks, Chris. I know it was a good game.
Yeah, boy. It was like right down to the third period and the home team won. Who doesn't want to be in that energy?
And I'm tweeting, I got the best seats in the house. Thanks a lot. You screwed me, you jackasses.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Whatever. It made for a fun experience and, you know, put us on our toes. And we still had a great night. Yeah. We hung out. We realized, I hate to circumvent your list, but we learned as the night went on that there's a certain, BJ gives off a certain aura about himself.
Oh, dude,
he was getting old man profiled.
This is really something that I just started paying attention to when I got down here, and more it's been happening where I am getting profiled. There's no doubt about it. You guys thought, you know, at the beginning I said something, you guys, come on. Then more and more people are targeting me. And I
mean, everywhere.
It's amazing. They look they come right at me. The biggest part of it was is that there were these you know, people pose for pictures, and you know the superhero guys are coming up to me, going, "Oh, you look like a guy that will take a picture with me for money." But
did you see the Optimus Prime Transformer one?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh! Yet again,
yeah,
didn't look like he was doing all too well here in Vegas.
Bumblebee had a car accident before he transformed.
Mm-hmm. What is it about Vegas? They spit up all the superheroes and chew them up and spit them out.
Now there was a couple of people that were taking pictures that really looked the part. The girls dressed as showgirls.
They were smoke shows,
and there were people all around them talking to them. But the thing is they can't make money off people that just want to talk to them. They're going to want, they want you to take their picture with them. And so that I look over and I see people and I look and all of a sudden this one showgirl locks eyes with me and goes, "Sir, you definitely want to take a picture with us." And I'm like, okay, come on. And then we keep walking.
Not more than maybe 100 feet
tops.
I mean, I've never had a beautiful girl make eye contact with me the way this did.
She actively broke off a conversation with someone else to come and talk to you because you look like the kind of guy who would.
A pathetic old man that would never be able to take a picture with a beautiful woman unless I paid her.
And then you'll look at it later on when you're in the hotel.
And then you guys are like, and then, like you said, less than 5 minutes later, we're walking across the crosswalk, not bothering anybody, and I basically get this one dude coming right up to me and going, "Well, I've got a place for you to go to."
Right.
"This limo will take you to the open bar at a strip club for $40.
Which I wanted to talk to that guy and be like, "Hey, man, come on. I'm not going regardless. Can you at least let me know? Let me in on the scam." Of course, now I'm in scam mode because of what I dealt with tickets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, there's no way that $40 is getting me in the door, a lap dance, an open bar.
Right. Yeah, that was the deal.
That was the deal.
An open bar at a strip club. That's how they make their money, is the alcohol at the strip club and the $20 sodas. How is that an open bar? How are they making their cash?
So then we went there, and man, he was right. It was incredible. His name was Marshall. But then, he goes up to BJ. He's like, blah, blah, and BJ loses it.
Yeah. I lost it with Marshall.
Yeah,
I go, "Dude, I'm sorry, but you are the last in a long line of people that are profiling me." And then he's looking at me like, because this dude was an African-American guy, and he's like, "Wait, how are you being profiled?"
Yeah, right.
It was the funniest thing, because the guy was in tears, but at one point, BJ kind of puts his arm around him and goes, "Walk a mile in my shoes, man. You don't know what it's like to be profiled." And that way, it's a black dude. Yeah. And he's looking at him. He's like, and he's in tears. He's looking at me like, "Is this guy saying what he's saying? Like, I don't know the struggle of being profiled, but you do because of the strip clubs."
Yeah, he doesn't know my struggle being profiled.
Right.
I said, "I'm telling you, we switch bodies. And when you get profiled as a pathetic old dude that can't get women or even a chick to take a picture with you, you'll beg me for your own body back." And he was laughing.
He was loving it. The whole night, all we kept wondering is, "Where's Marshall? We need Marshall."
Marshall didn't catch up to us. Every other limo we saw was like, "There he is. There's Marshall."
And those other limo drivers who were going to a gentleman's club, who did they talk to? Our friend BJ.
I'm telling you, man.
It was great.
So I'm telling you, I'm going to be a prostitute magnet. I'm going to be a strip club magnet. Mm-hmm. You'll know. If you want to know if someone's a working girl, if anyone's talking to me that looks halfway good, you know they're a working girl, because those are the only people that talk to me.
Well, did you forget about the cowboy strippers?
Oh, yeah.
Or the working boys.
Right. The profile doesn't know gender.
No.
You were profiled also by the male. Who was he? He was on the street shirtless, wearing chaps and a cowboy hat with another guy who was wearing the exact same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure what they were selling. But I don't know if I wanted to buy it or not, but apparently they were trying to sell it to you.
Well, as you know, in Seattle, one of the best-selling sausages is Men's Room sausage.
Yes.
But apparently in Vegas, it's these guys' sausages which are being sold. Because, again, they targeted me. Go like, all right, what am I? I look like I can't. So what they're saying is you're pathetic. Whether you'd be gay or straight, you're not getting any action unless you pay for it, buddy.
And what did they say to him?
You're next.
Yeah.
What did that mean?
I don't know. It was so sinister, too. Like, well, you're next, buddy.
They probably figure you're next to open your wallet up. That's what you're next. You're,
right?
I mean, seriously.
You're next?
That's exactly what he said. You're next. And I'm like, Jesus, seriously. I don't need to pay for it to get it, okay? Whether I'm gay or straight, I think somebody will be with me.
Well, the only non-adult entertainment person that reached out to you and profiled you or singled you out was Spider-Man. So now I'm wondering, what the hell is going on underneath Spider-Man's mask?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think it was Peter Parker.
You want to web me up, apparently.
Hey, well, Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wait, that's an actual...
That's a real comic book.
I had that back in the day, yeah.
Spider-Pig.
Yeah, so you guys now witnessed it. And we'll see what happens tonight while we're walking around. It's insane.
I can't wait. I feel
so bad. Like, I feel like, wow, so this is where I'm at in life, where people just look at me and go, here's a pathetic guy. He'll pay for it.
Well, I think we should wrap things up, and we'll have more to talk about in the next adventures or the CEScapades with BJ and Migs or the adventures. Tomorrow's going to be a crazy day because tomorrow is when everything kicks off.
It's open. We can go in. We can go to the main floors and see all the great displays. I'm very excited because this is why we're here.
Yeah, and for those that are listening, thank you for listening to the podcast. And just keep an eye out on the KISW Facebook page for pictures and videos. They'll be coming as they go along, you know, because as soon as we get them, we'll get them up as soon as possible. Also, we'll have some blogs at KISW.com in the near future as well.
So, yeah, so tomorrow's going to be a great day, and we hope you join us for that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.